Which would you prefer? Somebody that came over and said, "Oh man, I feel so sorry for you. I love you so much. I appreciate you." And just be the sweet talker and say, "Once I was stuck in a well," or would you rather have some old grumpy farmer come over there and yell at you and throw a rope down and pull you out? Sometimes we just need to have a good answer and not everything be so polite. There is another story that I'm reminded of, and true or not, I don't know, but it was a drought going on in the farm country, and it was getting really critical, and it was past critical, and it was back in the early 1900s, they said, and the pastor, they decided to, pull a meeting together and pray for rain. And so they were praying for rain, and anyway, they were mentioning and telling the whole community. And the old blacksmith was a rusty old guy that didn't believe much of anything. And he said, he kind of grumbled about it all. And so they had the prayer meeting, and then about the next day it started raining, and it rained for 2 days, and it was great, and they replenished everything. And so then the pastor went to see the old blacksmith, and he said to him, he said, "Well, what do you think about that?" He says, "We prayed, and here it rained." And blacksmith grabbed a great big old hammer and picked it up, and he said, "Pastor, do you really think your prayers made that rain?" And he goes, "Yeah." He said, the old blacksmith picked up that hammer and slammed it down on the anvil, bam, and said, "Pastor, if you ever let this country get in that bad of shape again, I'll have you." So when you take credit for something, you might want to be thinking about, are you going to take the blame when it doesn't happen? But at the same time, we hesitate sometimes to do what we know to do. And anyway, I feel like that kind of fits. I don't know how. But I want to talk to us today at Believers Fellowship here, and that includes our people watching on internet all over the world in our network, but about what God has invited us to. And as we come into this 2026 and this first month here, I know for me, I do try to pick up on the momentum of moments. Make the most of things that are around me to help me succeed. I've always ministered on this, that when you're not reaching your goals, you need to get bigger friends. And there was a time when I was demonstrating this, and I was trying to bring it, and I had some young kids come up, and I said, "Listen, my goal is to get to the back door. Will you help me get back there?" And so they came up and they grabbed my hand and they tried to take me back there. And I just resisted them, and they couldn't drag me, they couldn't lift me, they couldn't get me there. And I just shared, I said, this is what you call discipline. Discipline is that friendship that you have with something or somebody that helps you get to your mark. And so I said, when your friends, and I upheld these kids next to me, I said, when they can't help you get to your goal, you need to get bigger friends. So then I had two big guys come, and they grabbed me, I clued them in beforehand, but they took me at my word. I said, get kind of forceful. And I remember I really fought them, and by the time I got to the back door, I'd lost my heel, my shoe. Because I was dragging and then pulled it off, and my armpits were sore, but I made it to the back door. And the point is, instead of discipline is your friend to get you to hit the mark, just like the rifle, when you shoot a bullet, that rifle being grooved and smaller than the bullet, so it compresses it, guides it, and then the longer the barrel is, the more accurate it's going to be. And it's like, embrace the things that bring discipline to your life to help you hit the mark. And if you're not hitting the mark like you want to, get bigger friends. Get some more help to reach it, even if you're the one resisting, going to the mark. And so I'm kind of down that line today, and I want to just talk about what I feel like God is invited us as a congregation individually and corporately to do in this day and this hour. And so I believe we need to be aggressive. I think we need to be focused. I think we need to be not aimless. We need to ask God and seek out the discipline that we need and to hit the mark of what God's asked us to do. So in Galatians 1:15 it says this: "But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased," and it goes on. But what I want to highlight here is that Paul is saying, God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, invited me or called me. The word call there is kind of a loud, like calling you out by name, but it's also an invitation. And that Paul says that he called me by his grace and through his grace. And so we know this from other scriptures that God has called each and every one of us, invited each and every one of us to come to his table, to come to his kingdom. As Jody was saying, come and follow me. It'll cost you something, but it'll also reward you a lot. And so this is so important, I believe, for every person. I think, you know, not just young people, but old people, everybody. Sometimes we have our excuses of why we think we are kind of exempt from being in the thick of it right now. You know, well, I'm retired, or I'm too young, or I'm, you know, whatever else. And it's like, no, God has called each person and invited them to come into the kingdom of God and to work with him and to be a part of the family business. And I think it's sad when somebody doesn't think they're included in the family business. Now, some may not want to, but most of them would. Most of us, we all need purpose. We all need to have a reason for living and why we exist. And that's what the world is all searching for. And you and I have it. We've been, each and every one of us, and not just each and every one of us, but everybody you meet has an invitation from God to be involved in the kingdom and enter the family business. And that's important to know, but I want to talk about us now. And then in 1 John 3, John says this: "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called," and this is the same word, he's calling us, he's inviting us, "children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him." We cannot make light of this, or we cannot emphasize it too much, that our Father that created the whole universe has called each and every one of us with a personal invitation. I remember once we were putting in the bulletin, you know, how we got things going on and all that, and I was talking to one of our members, you know, and I said, you know, man, we put all that, we put it in the bulletin, and we make announcements, and then people go, oh, I didn't know that was happening. And I said, some people just, they don't come unless they get a personal invitation. And he looked right at me and said, well, that's me. I ain't going to read your bulletin. if you don't ask me personally, he says, I won't come. And it humored me, and it also irritated me, but it also brought back the fact of how important it is that each one of us hears in our heart the Father speaking to us individually, saying, I've invited you. I've called you by name. And go back to last week's message, you know, he called him by name to be a craftsman, and he's called each and every one of us. And I look at it this way: whatever you're doing, if you're a farmer, you're a rancher, you're a plumber, a contractor, a nurse, a doctor, you ought to be, I just encourage you, enter it saying, this is what God's called me to do. And some people, I don't know if he did. Just say he did. Say it's your calling. Say it's what you're anointed for. By the way, if it's not, he'll get it across to you. But man, you to enter into your daily life every morning and noon and evening with the conviction and the persuasion that what I'm doing, I've been invited by the Heavenly Father to do this, and I'm anointed by the Holy Ghost to do this, and I have the power of God inside of me and the wisdom of God inside of me and the mind of Christ to do what I'm doing right now, because that's what God's asked me to do. I tell you, without any hesitation, or just say, man, this is what I was called to do. And again, you say, well, what if it's not? Well, if you enter every day and moment with that conviction that God has led you to this, then I guarantee you he'll get across to you if you need to switch something. Man, that confidence is everything in the world. You know, it's just watching kids in school or watching anybody in their job or in sports. Confidence, that inward confidence is so vital and so important. So see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that he's called us the children of God. And as you were singing that song, he's my Father and he's pleased with him. What a thing to just grab hold of yourself. You know, and part of that means you have to abandon your opinion about yourself that has been formed from experience and formed from others talking to you and voices and comparisons and fears and stories and mess ups. I don't know about you, but boy, sometimes I'm sure you're that way, but maybe there's times I just seem like I make some really foolish little decisions, you know. And I'll tell on Elisa the other, because she kicked a box, you know, a while back, broke her toe, she thinks, you know, whatever else. And then just the other day she comes in my, you know, I was in the living room, she comes in and says, what did she say? Something like, this has got to stop. But she picked up this box, this ornament for Christmas that she has, and it's a wooden box, and then it has a plaster Paris in the bottom of it, and then come a couple Christmas trees poke. And she was clean, you know, straight, pulling all the Christmas decorations off her house. And she picked it up by those trees, and they slipped right through, they came out of that plaster Paris, and the whole box came down on her other foot. And she comes in with this, you know, I don't know about you, but it's like, please, God, can I have a backup button and a replay and stop that, you know, because it just changes everything. And those little things sometimes can trigger us to start feeling like we're not doing well. I mean, the Father's pleased with us. That's an incredible thing. In the midst of that, to just keep your faith strong, that God has called me to be his child, and he's pleased with me. And abandon everything else. Abandon every other opinion. And when you do that, as Jody was sharing this morning, when you abandon the opinion of yourself and everybody else around you, and most of the time you really don't know what they think of you. You're just trying to figure it out, right? You just think that they think something. And then there's some that will tell you how much they think of you. Gosh, I had one of those. I know I got these old stories, but some of you haven't heard them all, so I'm going to repeat some. But I was in Bible college, and I felt led of the Lord to leave college in the middle of the semester and just to go out and experience life with Jesus. And one of my best, I thought he was one of my best friends. He came up to me, and I was kind of the talk of the whole college, because, well, what are you doing, John? What's John doing leaving, you know? And half the people thought, man, he's really being led of the Lord. And the other half said, he's really messed up. And this friend came up to me and put his arms on my shoulders, and I thought he was just going to encourage me, you know, and he says, John, I really appreciate you, and I'm starting to feel the love. He says, because I look at you and see everything I don't want to be. And then he took his knee and just drove it right into my thigh and dropped me to the ground. To this day, I have no idea. He was kind of a kind guy. I don't have any idea why that happened for. I mean, I'm sitting there, you know, barely could walk. But you got to abandon all the opinions of everybody else if you're going to walk with Jesus. That's what that sword's all about. And you got to abandon your own opinion and just take the truth. And the truth is, we are now his children, and he's pleased with us, and he loves us, and he's got a call in our life. He's got an invitation to be part of the family business and to build the kingdom of God and to walk with him in joy. When we do that, then God really is the Lord of our life, And then when everybody said, well, God's in control, then he is in control of your life, and he's in control of helping you and getting you to your mark. To say that God's just in control of everybody would be foolish, wouldn't it? Because he's given everybody that free choice to either accept the invitation or not. And the right answer is to say, I accept. I accept. Jesus is my Lord. He chose me first, and then I chose him. Now, the key to victory over a lifetime is just to stay as steady with this as you can and be consistent. That's really simple. It doesn't take a heroic moment all the time. It just needs to be steady. And that's why we come together, and that's why we keep listening to this stuff, because I don't know, we all need to be reminded, amen? We all need to be reminded of who we really are and what we're really called to do in this world that it is gets so noisy and so many things pulling on us. It's just that's why we come together and encourage each other. I want to read to you out of Acts 22:14 now. It says this, and he said, now this is, I forgot his name, that came after Paul saw Jesus on the road and went blind. Now this, who was it? Ananias? Anyway, you can look up in the verses before it. He said, and he comes to Paul and he says this to Paul. And Paul's blind right now, and then he speaks to him. He says, open up your eyes, and Paul was healed. He says this, the God of our fathers has appointed you. Now, that word appointed means to take into one's hands. The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and hear an utterance from his mouth. So Paul was confronted by Jesus on the road, and then this man comes and said, listen, you need to understand, you were appointed, and you were called, and you were invited, and you were ordained to know God, to hear from him, and then to do his will and walk it out. And Paul definitely did that, didn't he? It's the same for us. We may not have the road to Damascus, you know, where we have that kind of a great thing. And in a lot of ways, praise God, you don't want all your life to be just dramatic events. It's a great life when you just calmly hear God in your voice as you read the word. And you hear his voice and you know he's called you. In Matthew 5:44, it says this, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Pray. 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 I just got to believe, don't you, that if God told us to pray, there's a purpose for it. That there is a result from it. Pray for your enemies. Why? Because he loves them. You're not just praying it off in the blue just to keep your own attitude right. It'll definitely help you. But man, when you pray for your enemies, you know, I don't know, I've heard this, I don't know, can't confirm it, but it says you heap coals of fire on them, you know? Well, that sounds like you're going to light somebody on fire, you know? But one guy just said, no, this is where a neighbor would come to your house and you'd give him a basket full of coals to put on his head so he could go home and start his own fire. You pray for your enemies so that they can come into the kingdom of God, so they can be forgiven, so they can come into the family business. But here's the point, pray. Mark 4:32 says this, they came to the place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here until I have prayed. I don't know about it, I get off on this. Our Lord Jesus was only in the ministry for 3 years. And in that 3 years, there's so often he went away by himself to pray. And he just said, you boys sit here and be good. Or I don't know. It's just comical to me. Sit here. I got to go pray. If he had to go pray, how important is it that we pray? How important is it we get along? And did his prayers make a difference? So we know this, that there's all kinds of examples for us that we need to pray, and we need to pray for one another. And I know a lot of scriptures got to be going through your head, but I'm just going to touch on a few of them. Paul prayed. In Philippians 1:9, he prays this. Well, let's back up here. I'm going back up. Where was I? Luke 22:32. Yeah, there you go. But this is when Peter was bragging on his devotion to God, and Jesus just said, you know, you're going to deny me. And he goes this, and he says, But I have prayed for you. The Bible says Jesus is at the right hand of the Father now making intercession for us. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. That ought to raise your confidence a little bit. I'm praying for you that your faith may not fail. And you, once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. You know what I love about this is so much is about typical life. Jesus is praying for us, but you got to live your life. And isn't it awesome? Jesus knew Peter was going to fail, but he didn't condemn him. He didn't say, boy, he didn't chew him out. He just said, you're going to fail bitterly, but I'm praying that your faith fail you not. And when you recover, strengthen your brothers. Man, that's it. That's our Father talking to us all the time when we fail, when we got things going on. He's not the, you know, there are some dads that when you make a mistake, they just poo-hoo you. And what are you, idiot? Can't you do anything right? You know, and if you grew up with one of those dads, I want you to know a Heavenly Father's not like that. He's not there. He's saying, no, I'm for you. You're going to make it. But you got to do it on your own. You got to do it. Not on your own, but you got to do it. But it's your life, you know. Man, the preciousness of God letting us be alive and make decisions and gain ground. I mean, you know, one of the worst things you can do, if you don't love your children very much, if you despise them, then the best thing you could do is do their homework for them and never let them raise a finger to do anything for themselves. If you really want to ruin somebody's life, just hand them money and hand them everything and don't let them do anything. Because that's the greatest insult you can do to them, and saying, well, you can't handle this, I'll do it. That is so insulting. Man, but our Heavenly Father doesn't do it. He says, you're going to make it, Peter, but I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And when you come out of it, and you're going to come out of it, strengthen your brothers. So Jesus prayed for Peter, and Philippians 1:9 says this, and this I pray, this is Paul speaking, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. There are so many prayers, Ephesians 1 and 2, 3, and so in Colossians, where Paul's praying, and those are good prayers to go look and read, and then use those, that same heart, same words to pray up for other people. But Paul's saying, I'm praying that your love may abound and that you might come into the real knowledge. He says in another place, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may see and understand the goodness of God and the greatness of God and his love. And so these are prayers that when you and I pray, it makes a difference. It's power released into somebody's life. It's not manipulation. It's not voodoo. But it is joining with somebody to be that friend to them that helps them hit the mark. Praise God. You and I have been invited. I believe our particular little body here, and our connections all over the world, I believe I can confidently say that one of the things he's called us to do, let me put it this way, I don't think he's called us to be the most spectacular church in the world. I don't think he's called us to try to get more likes than anybody else on Facebook. I don't think he's called us to do a whole lot of other things. But I do believe he's called us and invited us to be people who know how to pray and get results. You know, behind every major endeavor, behind every government, behind every businessman, there is somebody that is not being seen by most, but doing an awful lot of the work to make things happen. I think that's our call. We're not here to become famous, glory. We're not boasting those things. What we are doing is saying, Father, what has he called us to do? And I believe he has called us, in particular, our little body, especially coming. I think I'm telling you, I hear the coach saying, go after it. Get intense. Get after it. Pray. Speak the truth constantly. It'll make a difference. Romans 15:30 says this, Now I urge you, brethren, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So there's a effort, there's a striving, there's an energy that needs to be released in what he's called us to do. James 5 says this, Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. I want you to know, I wake up in the morning, usually, and it takes me a while to get going, but sometimes I jump in my hot tub, especially when it's like 0 degrees, it's awesome. Sit there in the hot tub and watch the sun come up. It's really cool. But all the time when I do that, man, I tell you what, I go into prayer, I go in and I worship God and it sets the tone for doing that all day long. But I want you to know, I pray for you a lot. I call you by name. A lot of times I'll see myself up here and I'll look out. And when you sit in the same place, it makes it easier for me because then I kind of go, there. And in my mind, I'll just go down both sides here and start praying for people. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Why? Because I tell you what, I love to be healed. Don't you? I do not like sickness. I'm a little, Melissa told me in the last couple of days, what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. You know something's wrong with you when you say, nothing's wrong with me. And and she said, well, you seemed a little bit off. And I go, I'm doing great. But the only thing I can come up with is when I get after it, like old hound dog on a scent, man. I get serious. When I want to hit the mark, I get serious. I pull in the friends for discipline, and I get, you know, and right now I've got some goals in my personal life and my body and in my attitude, and I'm going after it. And the problem with that is my expectations come up, and I want it now. And, you know, the good news is faith is now. Faith is now. It's not, I got the faith that tomorrow I'll be healed. No, I got the faith I'm healed today. And sometimes when those things don't happen right away, I get a little cranky. Because I expect it. I really do. I expect it to be manifest. I've watched it too many times. I know. I've known whom I believe that he is able. And I know that when I, you know, Jesus said this, might be in a verse coming up, maybe not. But I might want to put it in, but in Mark 11:25, it says, when you pray, believe that you have received it, and then it'll be coming to you. When you pray, you got to pray in faith. And faith says, I've already got it. I've got the title deed to it. It's kind of like when you get the title to your car, but you didn't pick up the car yet. You've got the title deed to it. It's yours, but you didn't go get it yet. And you just got to get it and get it home. Anyway, I'm a little grumpy sometimes because I believe God and I expect to have it when it doesn't come. And then I'm just kind of focused, and once in a while I get a little bit too focused, I guess, too serious. But I'm willing to pay that price and let you pay a little price of being me, having me grumpy. But I'm going for it. So pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And in the Greek language, part of this is saying the working prayer of somebody that really knows what they're doing releases a lot of power into other people's lives so they can get it done. You become their best friend or their good friend to help them hit the mark when you pray one for another. That's what we do here. And we're praying. You guys have been praying for these pastors in Albania, all our connections. We're praying for this city. We're praying for the city leaders. And every Wednesday morning, I meet with some other pastors, and we're praying for the city. We're praying for the mayor. We're praying for the council. We're praying for the city workers. We want our city blessed. I'm praying more earnestly right now personally that more businesses come into Sturgis and prosperous, and that, you know, a lot of people just want to gripe and complain about everything, but man, this is our territory. This is where God's planted us, and we're in the behind the stage. We're not always out in the front lines, but we're the group behind there that is making things happen. That's what I believe. I believe we are the ones making the things happen by what we believe, by taking in the Word of God, breathing in the Spirit of God, and then speaking those things out. And we bless this city in Jesus' name. We don't curse it. We bless the workers and pray for their healing and pray for their prosperity, pray for their families. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The key there to me is he's a man with a nature like ours. I hear this quite often. I don't know if you hear it, but it's like somebody said, well, I kind of messed up there. Well, you're only human. No, I'm not. I'm not only human. I am a supernatural spiritual being birthed into the spirit realm of God, perfect and blameless before Him. A joint heir with Him. I rule and reign with Christ Jesus. I'm not only human. And yet we sometimes want to focus in on that more than anything else. Well, forgive yourself. You're only human. Well, forgive yourself, but you're not only human. You are a spiritual being that has the Spirit of Christ inside of you, and you have the mind of Christ, and you have the power of God. And He said, I'm going to go to heaven. You guys do the work. Get it done. And that's what we're believers. Amen. And what is part of the work that we do? Part of it is we're the people that believe God and pray and speak the truth. And as Jesus said, man, there's some people just want to get up in front of everybody and pray everything out there. But there's some of us that say, we don't care if anybody sees us or not. We're in our closets, but we're the dynamo of change. In our community, in our relationships, our families, we believe that when we pray, it accomplishes much. It's kind of like that old blacksmith. Bam, you really think you made it rain? Maybe not. Or, yeah. Yeah. We have an invitation. And we can either accept it or not to step into the realm of the victorious and the powerful, not the victims. We're not just praying, oh, God bless us. Oh, God, help us get through this trouble. We do that too. But we're also those who step into the prayer closet saying, We're going to take authority over some things and change our community and change our world and fix some things. And Paul said, I want you to also pray for all the leaders of the nation, because it makes a difference. It makes a difference. The Bible says he can guide the hearts of the kings if somebody's believing, even ones that don't want to obey him. We make a difference. But here's the deal. It's got to be in faith. It's got to be, somebody's got to believe it. James 5:15 says this, and the prayer of faith, or offered in faith, will restore the one who is sick. So why do we spend time in the Word? Why do we renew? Why do we come together? Why do we worship like this? Because if we're going to be here on earth and not in heaven with him, then we're going to make a difference. And we're going to be the powerhouse. And we're not looking for the glory of men. And we may not be out in the front of everybody and doing all, you know, but we're going to be that which is in the background of people who really believe. And when they speak, they believe that what they speak comes to pass. And when they pray, they've already got it. And I believe right now what the Spirit of God is saying is, accept the invitation more than ever before. Step up. I believe it's our moment right now for us to really step up and take our authority as a group. You know, and the unity that we have right now in this body is phenomenal. And it's powerful. And it releases rivers of living water. So when you are prompted to pray, pray. When you see something, pray. When you pray knowing it's going to make a difference. Knowing that it's releasing a tremendous amount of spiritual power. It's not confined to our little body or our town, it's the whole world. We're making a difference in the whole world. Amen. We are believers. This is what we were called to do. Are we looking for the glory of man? No. Are we looking to be recognized? No. Are we trying to get more likes on Facebook? Not really. We're just taking our rightful place as children of God. Father, I thank you with all my heart that you gave us an invitation. And Father, we're all saying it together. We accept. We accept it. It's ours. It's our place. And we say yes to you. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. Send us into any and every situation, in any place in the world, and we'll go there in prayer, in agreement with the Spirit of God, in agreement with Jesus, in agreement with our Heavenly Father. And when we know, when we're praying that which is in agreement with our Father, we know that we have what we prayed for. And Father, we just commit to just cast aside and send away all the doubt and all the second guessing and all the shame and all the guilt and all of our past and all of the rejections and all the stuff that's been done to us. Heal our broken hearts. We send all that stuff away and we step in our rightful place and take the authority that you want us to. And it really pleases you. We know that. And what we say comes to pass. So be it. Amen. Well, I'm sure you accepted the invitation, right? God bless you.